Just so you know, I know it's going to hurt y'all's feelings, but God doesn't really care about the football game. I know you want him to. I think he does care about it. I mean, if we're going to pray anything, let's pray nobody gets hurt, and let's pray that attitudes remain good and for player and fan. And let's do it that way. Man, you know, I started this by accident, this secret place thing, because I told you I normally teach the Eagle about every 2 years, and this will... And actually, Renee Medford had said something to me about it. Normally, that's when I look in my notes to see when the last time I taught it was, which has been 2 years. So I just pulled up some notes and was reading them. Got stuck in this chapter, in this Psalms 91, and so good. Good. Can you say good? Let's look, man. Here we go. Rock and roll. And by the way, I'm going to read this every week. We're going to get the whole thing. So you're going to have it memorized by the time it's done. Okay, last week we talked the first verse. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This week we're going to do verse 2, but we're going to do the whole thing right now. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Man, his truth will set you free, man, because it will block all the... When the enemy comes into you and says, you sorry, dirty. You say, oh, yeah, I'm dirty, but he's not. Nah. Yeah, it'll be your, I'll get there when we get to that verse sometime. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor of the pestilent that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 is going to fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in your ways. Look at that. Wait, stop there just for a second. A little think on it. No, not shall any plague come near you in your dwelling. Why? Because you're dwelling in him. You get it. All right, keep going. We'll get there some day, some week, some year. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, says the Lord over you. And he's going to say that over you until we're done now. But the truth is, now we're just going to go to verse 2, because this is where we got hung today. I tried to get another verse in, but I couldn't. Got stuck right here. I will say of the Lord that he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. So here's what's so funny. What do I say of the Lord? Do I say, sometimes God's angry with me, but sometimes he's happy with me? Sometimes he blesses me. Sometimes he cures me. Am I schizophrenic? Sometimes he cares for me, sometimes he leaves me. Today he heals me, but tomorrow he gives me disease to punish me. Today he prospers me, but tomorrow gives me poverty to humble me. The bottom line is, do we think sometimes God is good and sometimes he's not? See, folks, we're never anchored in Jesus when we think this way. See, these type of believers live between the old covenant of the law and the new covenant of grace. So, bottom line is, God's happy with me when I do right and angry with me when I do wrong. Word. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. You want wisdom from God, he's going to give you wisdom without determining if you deserve it or not. Do you get what I'm saying? I have wisdom because he's given it to me and doesn't judge me by who I am. Thank God. Otherwise, I would be a blithering idiot. Don't even go there, anybody. Which, by the way, I need to pause. My wife's not here today. Normally, she's always here, obviously. I have a granddaughter who's under the weather. And she stayed at our place last night, and she's got a little cold, and her throat hurts. How did she say it? She said her tongue hurts, but we figured that was... talking about her throat. Anyway, that's why Gay's not here. Because she's always here. Because, well, I can rabbit trail, she's not here. I love what Steve talked about, how we have purpose. Guys, were y'all here last week? Most of y'all ever here last week? You remember when Jesse walked in? Which, by the way, I can say, Jesse, because we'll probably never see him again. This happens on occasion. I need you to understand something, because we're going to talk about trust here in a minute, because that's what we're talking about, trusting God. But let me tell you something. God gets to the level where he trusts you. And what God did last week, where you don't understand, is he trusted us with this individual named Jesse. Because Jesse didn't feel good about himself. But when this service concluded, all of you, or most all of you, just came up and just touched his life. That is so you. But God trusts you. So what I'm saying is, it's important that you become a part of this, all right? Do you hear what I'm saying? Because it's not just about you getting, man, that was a great word. That's awesome. I'm glad you love the word. I love to teach the word. But the truth is, life is bigger than who I am. My life is not about me. It's about you. And so that's why Gay and I, when we go on vacation, other than like one time a year, we schedule where we don't miss a service. And it's not because we're trying to do anything other than say, I want to serve. And I want everybody in here to understand you serve. But here's what I love. God trusted us to bring in Jesse last week. And knowing in my heart that he would. That's only happened one other time here. And by the way, that's in my book, if you've read the book, where another guy did that. Walked in on a Wednesday night. So walked down, and he was an Indian. And the reason I say he was an Indian is American Indian. Because when he walked down, he just looked at me, drunk as a skunk, and says to me, you can't love me, I'm an Indian. And something came over me, and I grabbed him, like I did Jesse, and I said, dude, you can cut me in a million pieces, and every little piece is going to say I love you. Well, that guy came back to church. Anyway, long story short, if you haven't read the book, the end result was one day he came in, and he says, he's a homeless guy, I have a bunch of candy canes I want to give to the church for Christmas because, you know, they represent Jesus' blood, and he was right and all this. I said to him, where did you get those candy canes? Because I'm sure he's probably stole them. True, that's really the truth. And I was going to tell him, let's go, I'll give you the money and we'll just go pay for them. But he looks at me and he says, oh, no, I didn't steal them. Without me having to ask him if he did. He said, I gave blood so that I could purchase them. So in the book, I just wrote, he's the second guy in my life that gave blood to purchase for me. Anyway, that's the only other time that's happened. That last week, you know, some of you were a little uncomfortable. And what's so weird is I really wasn't. I could have hit him, you know, whatever. The point is, God trusts us with people. That's crazy, crazy good. You don't want to miss that. You want to be a part of that. Anyway, totally off point, but that's okay. Because Gay's not here. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But if he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. In other words, you can't believe what I said a while ago, that schizophrenic thing. Well, sometimes God is happy and sometimes God is mad. No, pick one of them. You can't have both. He who chases two rabbits catches neither. That was Confucius. And he will be given it. But when he asks, he must believe, he must not doubt. Keep going. That man should not think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in everything that he does. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to proclaim to you that we are not to be schizophrenic. What is God doing today? I'm not lining up today, so something good's going to happen, bad's going to happen, or when something good or bad happens. Stop it. He loves you. He loves you. So then I got to get back on point because I just said, what do we say of the Lord? But what did David say of the Lord? Here it is. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, machase. And you gotta like spit. And my fortress, matsud. I just feel like a scholar. My God, in him I will trust. Batach, great word right there. So what is he saying? That word, machase, how do we say it? It literally means a shelter of hope. It means protection from the storm, but it also means protection from danger and protection from deception. The enemy only uses deception to get you. He can't use any. He's got no other power but to try and deceive you. That's why I tell you all the time. He's the one that says, oh, go ahead and do it. Oh, go ahead and do it. Oh, go ahead and do it. Then you go ahead and do it, and he's the one that says, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. I can't. You get what I'm saying? He hates you. He hates you. But he uses deception. That's all he's got. But this refuge in God protects us from that. How? Because we start believing. Now watch this. Let me just stay on point. And that word matsud, it not only means a stronghold or a fortress, like it's used there, fortress, but it literally means it's the net of the hunter. Not the hunter. It's the net that grabs the animal that, you know, the animal runs in, whoop, and it goes up in the air. So he's saying, I'm not hunting you, I am protecting you. It's crazy. So bottom line, here's what this hope in my thought means. So he's my protection in the storm, and he keeps me from being misled and captures me in his safe and his strong arms. Now, then there's that word batach, which is a great word. It means trust. But watch this. It means carelessly, to carelessly and confidently know with security, to absolutely be certain, to have absolute certainty that everything is under control. Now, for those of you who did read, I did a whole chapter on trust in the book. But I want you to know, as I was looking through this and searching for this, I found something in the Word that I have there, and as much as I've read it for years and years and years, I never saw this until this week. And we're going to read out of Romans chapter 9, but let me give you a little preface here. Paul, well, you're going to see it in this first part that we read, absolutely loves the Jewish people. He just does. Let's just read this first part, and we'll get there. So this is Paul writing to the Romans. He says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with you with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit can confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed and cut off from Christ if that would save them. He loved the Jewish people so much, and they were so deceived about this Jesus. So let's keep going. He says, they are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. None of us got that. This was just the Israel people. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all their ancestors. And Christ himself was an Israelite as far as his human nature is concerned. And he is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. So I wanted to read that part to you because I wanted you to see how much the Apostle Paul absolutely loved Israel. But then he starts talking about the differences of what's happening with the Gentiles and the Israelites in this chapter. And he uses Hosea. You remember, I've taught on Hosea, where God had Hosea marry the prostitute Gomer, so because he's wanting to show his love for his people. And he said, Paul says to in this writing, talking about the Israel people, he's saying, and here we are, the Gentiles, and we don't deserve to be loved, but in Hosea, God says, they're not my people, but I'm going to call them my people. And then he says, and then in Isaiah, he talks about the Israelites are as many as the sands of the sea, but there's only going to be a remnant left. So he's trying to help them with all this, and he finally comes to a point and kind of stops and takes a breath. And then he pens these words. So what does all this mean? This Gentile thing, this Israel thing, what does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God. And it was by faith. But the people of Israel, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, they never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by, this is where it hit me, trusting in him. They stumbled over the great rock in the path. You can't have both. You cannot do the law and have honest trust in God. Because when we say we trust in God, we trust in the promises that he gave us. We trust in the fact that Jesus did die on the cross, that Jesus did take care of everything. Do you get what I'm saying? This is what trust is in God. It's not about, oh, no, he's going to feed me. No, trust is beyond that. You don't have to, that's just a byproduct of real trust. Real trust is he loved me so much that he gave his son to do all this for me. So obviously he's going to feed me. It's like when the children of Israel left. God took them out of Israel, and then they, you know, they were all griping and complaining. And God said, "Moses, get out of the way. I just want to kill them." And Moses said, "Well, great. You're going to do that. So people for the generations is going to say, oh, you got them out of Egypt just to kill them? You know that God is for us, not against us. This whole schizophrenic thing's got to stop, ladies and gentlemen." But Paul hit the nail on the head. He said, "What? Because they're trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of trusting in Him." Now watch this. Let me see where I'm at on this right here. So under the law, everything depended on perfect obedience by man. If you want to walk under the law, knock yourself out. But you got to be perfect. You got to perfectly obey. Perfectly perfect, be perfect. You got to be perfect. Now, I am perfect. I make perfect mistakes. They're perfect. I learned that when my daughter Charity was 5 years old, so Leah was three. And Leah was so tired of Charity because Charity was the boss. She was the oldest, you know. Still is, kind of. But anyway, and Leah looked at her one day, and she said, "You just think we're perfect." And Charity looked at her and says, "I am perfect. I make perfect mistakes." Oh, yeah, I really remember her, the five-year-old. So I've used it ever since. Let me get back on point. So under the law, everything depends on perfect obedience by us. That's just the way it is. And the Bible says very clearly, why was the law given? Y'all should know this. Why was the law given? As a mirror so that we could see how stupid we are. God wanted us to see how bad we needed a Savior. Not how bad we needed a Savior. Because until you understand that you're drowning, you will drown. If you don't think you're drowning, you think, man, we had a teaching years ago. You know, it was, you know, if you believe it, you receive it. If you doubt it, you do without it. If you cast your bread out on the water, it'll come back buttered, and everything's going to be good if you believe right and do right and live right and do right, blah, 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 blah. And then people's lives started falling apart. And then what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Do you say God's a liar? No, you say you are. Do you get what I'm saying? We had that teaching to where, you know, they called it the confession. You know, I ain't confessing nothing. You know, when I was in college, I was the admissions counselor. So it was my responsibility to take the money from the kids for when they came in. And inevitably, I'd have one that would come in and want to come to school without paying down a third. I had to pay a third down. Well, you know, God's going to provide. Yes, I believe with you, God's going to provide. But I got to have the third down, and they would get mad at me. You know, I'm confessing it. Do confess it, blab it, grab it, whatever. Just, I need cash. I need the money. I hear you. And stop writing hot checks. Did you know I worked at a place? It was called Dwarf, which I can't even probably, I guess now it'd be like short people or something, but it was called Dwarf. It was like a 7-Eleven type store, and I was given instructions not to take a check from a lawyer or students from the college or a doctor. That's when I was hired on, because of that faith check thing. You know, the old joke was, you know, all these guys died and went to heaven, but one of these confessors died and went to hell, and he was in a 3-piece suit, and somebody looked at him and said, you know, well, what do you think about this? He goes, well, it is a little warm, but I ain't confessing nothing. You know, so we had this teaching, this crazy teaching, where we decided that, see, it's we're going to trust in ourselves. We're going to trust in what we create. So because we can't believe God is so big and so good on what He did, I'm going to have to help Him out. So if you own, go ahead and go to that next scripture. Just, I do use the word on occasion. James chapter 2, he says this, for the person who keeps all of the laws except just one is as guilty as a person who's broken all of God's laws. Is that not frustrate you? Come on, man, because there's something in our nature where I want to be better than you. So I'm going to create something better than you. It's the preacher who decided, you know, that all these farmers that were coming to his church, dumb because they were putting money in the plate, but they're all coming in their overalls and all sitting in the front pew, you know, just dipping away, dipping away, and, you know, spitting in their little tin cup. And so he preaches up there, you know what, where are you going to spit your tobacco when you get to heaven? And this old boy stood up and said, in your coffee cup. Do you get it? If you're going to live the law, ladies and gentlemen, then live it. You can't do it. It's impossible. which is why God knew all this. What's his side of this whole thing? This whole schizophrenia here. Under grace, under law, everything depends on your perfect obedience. Under grace, grace is a person, and his name is Jesus. Under Jesus, everything depended on the perfect obedience of him. Look, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, Jesus. I've read that a million times, man. What does that really mean? Okay, I wrote it like I write a book. Jesus knew no sin, did no sin, and in him was no sin, right? But at the cross, he became sin. So Jesus knew no sin, did no sin, and in him was no sin, but at the cross, he became sin. We knew no righteousness, did no righteousness, and in us is or was no righteousness, but at the cross, we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not supposed to yell, but man, my toes are curling. He deserved nothing. We deserved everything. He got everything, so he took all of our nothing and made us everything. That is just stupid love. I can't even do that for my children. So at the cross, watch this, it was a divine exchange. He took our place so we could take his place. Believe this, please. I can't. Isn't that funny? It's so much easier to believe bad news than it is good news. I'm going to say this. Thank you so much. You know, as you know, I had to go to the emergency room in November. I don't have health insurance other than I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I really do hold true to that with God. But anyway, I don't have health insurance. And so, you know, those can be pretty expensive, going to the ER room. So here's what's really cool. So they hadn't even sent me a bill. So Gay's like, I'm going to call him. I'm like, no, I don't call him. No. Let that sleeping dog lie. I really did tell her not to call. But anyway. So a couple weeks ago, I got this thing that said you did not qualify for assistance. Well, I didn't apply to qualify for assistance. But I get this thing. It's in the hospital industry, the right hand obviously doesn't know what the left hand's doing anyway. So I'm like, whatever. And they said, so you owe your bill in full. Well, I hadn't received a bill. So I'm like, man, God, you're just hiding that, aren't you? I don't know, you know. So, and then part of you feels like you're evil. And I get a bill yesterday. I get the bill. Here's the bill. Comes in my house. I'm excited because I had paid $200 the day of, and I was telling God, let that just be about 10%. You know, like it's probably going to be $2,000. I'll figure they'll work payments with me. I'll do whatever. So I get the bill, and I open the bill, and it's $855. Oh, no, it gets better. On this bill, and I'm not exaggerating, I have the bill in my office to prove to you. It says, evidently they thought I didn't have money and I was just being delinquent. I had never been sent a bill. You hear what I'm saying? I didn't have any idea what the bill was. And we had called, they had called us at the house. We'd called them back. They couldn't find it. So anyway, but they obviously thought that I was struggling because on this bill, it says, if you will put in the next 60 days, if you'll put it on the credit card, we will knock off up to 75% of this bill. Well, I'm like, no, you won't. And I'm like Googling to see if this is a legitimate company. And it is. So, it's legitimate. So I'm like, okay, well, they say up to, you know how that works. You know, when you have those little scratch-offs to get something at the grocery store, you get up to 75 and it's always 5%. Yeah. So I'm like, well, whatever. So I didn't wait 60 days, obviously. I get online, and I type all my information in, and I type in the little code they gave me, and I click the button. Thank goodness before, because I thought, I'm not clicking the button because they're just going to take the whole $855, and then, you know, and then I'm going to be stuck with that. So, but that you have a thing where you click it and then review it. So I'll do the click and review, and then I'll get out of it if I, you know. So I click it, and the bill dropped to $213.75. I'm not playing. Now, I could give credit to the hospital, but I trusted in God, and I still trust in God. That is the most bizarre thing. I'm not kidding you. I want to show you that bill, because it really does say if you pay within 60 days and pay. Anyway, so what? I had to pay a bill before years ago for my son when he had to go in the hospital, and that bill was like $8,000. Okay, so I was going to be thrilled if it was going to be around two, and like I said, I'd work. Anyway, God is just good. He's amazing. But that, I was going to say, it has nothing to do with this, but it does have something to do with this, because the truth is, until we trust him with our soul, we'll never trust him with the little things. Until you honestly believe that he loves you so much that everything's taken care of in your life, you won't be able to walk in that. And that's probably why I get so emotional about this. So at the cross, it was a divine exchange. He took our place so that we could take his place. He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve to be made sin, but he was made sin in our place. We didn't deserve to be made righteous, but we were made righteous because we received his righteousness. Do you hear this? He didn't deserve sin because he never sinned. We didn't deserve righteousness because we're never righteous. What a great exchange. How come, but it's all benefit to us? How can that be? How can a God love me so much? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Here's a little quote. You don't have to write this down that I wrote. Here's what I said. Our downfall is when we trust in our ability to obey and not trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross for mankind. When we honestly think that because of the things that we've done in our past, it's going to hinder us from our future, that we honestly think that if we can just line up to some kind of thing we've created to line up to, that, do you hear what I mean? If we do that, then somehow you will be miserable for the rest of your life. I'm here to tell you, you can be set free with the understanding of how awesome Jesus is and what he did for you. He did it because he loves us. He loves me. I don't know why. He loves me. So our downfall is when we trust in our ability to obey and not trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross. Hear scripture. Sorry, I'm like throwing down signs today. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Christ. Stop. Do you see what this says? Don't just read it. Get it in your heart. What does it say? We know, Paul knew, that a person's made right with God by faith in Jesus, not by obeying the law. Wait. How are you made righteous? Thank you. How are you made right with God? Right with God, righteousness. How are you? And we have believed in Jesus, he says, so that we might be made right with God. Because our faith is in Christ. Not because we've obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Do you hear what I just said? I tried to obey the law for years. I did. I taught very eloquently how to obey the law for years until I finally had enough time to have an epiphany about who God is and the depth of the love that he has for me. I'm telling you, 10 years ago, you could have looked up the word self-hatred in the dictionary, and there's Steve's face, because I couldn't line up. I couldn't line up to what I had determined I needed to do. All I had to do was go, oh, he did that for me. Because that's a hard pill to swallow, because I'm not lovable. until I started. Then when I started getting the epiphany on that, the awareness on that, I could have had a V8 moment on that. Epiphany was too big of a word. I could see it on your epiphany. So, I could have had a V8 moment. You ever had those? Have you ever not had those? Even like when you're reading the Bible. Read the Bible 100 times, man. And all of a sudden, you read, the pain endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And you just got up and you had a horrible night, but then there's this joy that rose up in you and you didn't understand it. And everybody accused you of not dealing with your problems. I've had that happen to me 100 times. You're just not dealing with it. Well, no, I'm not dealing with it like you deal with it. I'm dealing with it like I want to deal with it, which is I've got joy in my heart and I'm going to allow it to work. It must be. Nothing's going to change. If I don't have joy, is it going to change my situation? Is anything that Steve Van Zandt does going to change his situation? No. So I can be in my happy pants or I can be in my sad pants. Bottom line is I got to go from A to point B. I can go happy, 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 or I can go, oh, man, I just don't know. The bottom line is I got to go to B. You're on your way. You're marching forward. Be happy, be sad. Don't matter to me, but it does matter to me because I love you. I want to kill you, but I love you. No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that to my child before. I have. I told my child one time, I love you, but I have to kill you today. But I didn't. Oh, let's finish the word. Sorry, I didn't finish. Or did I? God, yes. Let's read it one more time. Let it marinate in your heart. In fact, some of you might want to write something, like write that down, Galatians 2:16, because some of you might be King James Version people, and you're like, it doesn't really say that. When I first started reading other versions of the Bible, I was so used to King James Version, I would have a King James Version next to me and then read the NIV or whatever. And then I realized really the only difference was it kind of takes off the THs off the end of the words. It's pretty much it. God loveth youeth, meeth, sometimeth, maybeeth. And so he takes all the THs off. So, you know, for God so loveth the worldeth that he gaveth his only begotten soneth that whoever believeth, you know. It was the Queen's English in 1611, ladies and gentlemen. If I was born in 1611, lived in England, perfect for me. But I'm not. Anyway, write down Galatians 2:16. Read it later. Marinate on it later. Understand what this is saying. You stop trying to be. You're not going to be made right with him doing your own thing. You're not. I don't care how cool you think you are. You're going to get it. You're not. And then when you fail, you're going to feel even worse. Because, oh, I failed again. Yeah, you did. He doesn't. Yeah. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is so dynamic. Yet we leave it alone. We miss it. I'm almost to the end of this message. I'm sure you're happy. Children's church is just now starting, and I'm about done. So, to get back on this point, here's Psalms. Let's go back to the very first, the second verse. This is the second verse of the thing. This is in the New King James Version. By the way, sometimes I use the New King James Version because it does take off the THs too. Because sometimes in the original language, it's easier to pull it out and dig it out. So just here's, look, don't get caught up in what the version of the Bible is, please. Because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but the disciples, they didn't have the New Testament. Man, how did they live? Because they wrote it. Why does the Word tell us that God's gonna that His Word is now gonna be placed in our hearts and it's gonna be etched in our own hearts? So, I will say, Amar is that word of the Lord. He is my refuge, my machase. He is my fortress, my matsud, and my God. In Him I will trust. So, look at this. This next version is called the RSV version. Y'all know what this means, Reverend Steve Van Zandt. I broke it down from the original language. I will speak from my heart and confirm the promises of the Lord. This is David speaking. Do you hear this? He says, I will speak from my heart and confirm the promises of the Lord. Listen to me. What is a promise? A promise hasn't happened yet. Is that correct? What is a promise? A promise is, I will do this for you. When my children were younger, our lives have never been about us. In fact, probably 20 years ago now, I was real mad one day at God, and I'm like, man, here's my calendar. I got no time. You know, I'm whining about something. And actually, I was whining about spending time with him. And he's like, get up an hour earlier. And I'm like, no. No. No, I didn't. Well, I fought it, but you can't fight him. But I just was frustrated. I'm like, I verbalized this out loud. I go, my life's just not my own. And I was so proud when I said that, because I'm like, you can't, nothing you can say to that except for here's what he said. You're right. Oh, my God. So what is that telling me? My life's not my own. I understand it. Let me tell you something. When you realize that, then all these people who interrupt you aren't interrupting. They're not interrupting. They're appointments. You have an appointment. It's a divine appointment. What do you mean? Yeah, especially those when you're in a hurry to get somewhere. Listen, I'll be 5 minutes away from a very important call that I got to do whatever, and I'll walk out that front door, and there's somebody standing by my car. But see, I know now. I'm like, really? Really? I'm in a hurry here. You know, but I don't want to be the priest and the worker with the priest, the step over the beat up guy, so I can go do my duty at the church. You know what I'm saying? Oh God, what a mess. Let me go. I gotta go preach. Excuse me. You know. And I've had it happen a ton of times on Sunday morning. I was driving one day. I usually go to this McDonald's up here because it's close to the church. I thought, oh, you know what? I think I'll go to that other McDonald's over there. And so I went over the one by the Cracker Barrel. And for whatever reason, now I know the reason. So I'm driving, and I see this guy, and he's standing by his truck, and he's looking like he's not happy. And I just, oh, man, that dude must have broke down. Oh, God. No! So I turn around. I go back. Dude can't speak a lick of English. Dude can't speak a lick of a lick of Spanish. That was sick, wasn't it? Johnny, I killed you, didn't I? Dude. I just accidentally spit it out. What can I say? I spit it out. That's terrible, man. I can't believe that you. Well, you can say it. Me, now I'm the white dude. I'm in trouble. I can't. You, when you're the white guy, you can't say anything without being racist. Anyway, so we can't communicate. And I'm like, oh, you know, 30 minutes from when church is going to start. But the whole time, that whole Samaritan thing. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, you try to do, why do we do sign language? What do you need? You know, gasoline? Oh, it's a big, hairy deal. You know, what do you do? So I'm trying to communicate. He's the sweetest guy. That's another thing that's frustrating. He was just a good man. He was just a nice man. So I'm like, and he points at my phone. And I'm like, no, you're not going to use my phone. I'm like, sure, man. So I gave him the phone. Well, he's speaking in Spanish. I have a clue. You know, he could have been saying, hey, come over here, man. We can steal this dude's pickup. You know, I don't know what he's doing. So anyway, I'm patiently waiting for my phone, hoping I'm going to get it back. And I get it back, and I look at my watch, and it's 15 till. Now I can't go to McDonald's to maintain my svelte figure. And so he hands me back my phone, and I said, in English, is there anything else I can help? You know, and I know a little Spanish, you know, I could say, ¿dónde un baños? You know, and which is like, it says, where's the bathroom? But that didn't matter because there was, I could say, ¿cuántos pesos, por favor? And I wasn't trying to buy anything. So, you know, Johnny, you get it? So I get my phone back and I start to leave, and he's just got this look on his face like I missed something. So I'm like, okay, well, I've got like $3 of my breakfast burrito and coffee that I was going to get at the other McDonald's that I'm never going to go back to again because I got to go down that stretch of loneliness. So I ask him, dinero, and he was just so humble, and I wish he would have been mean so I could just turn around and walk off, you know, see how he'd treat me. Anyway, so I just gave him the money, and I left, and I came back to church, and I haven't been back to that McDonald's since. There was a reason I told that story, and now I can't remember. Say that again? Divine appointments. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And always in a hurry. They're always in a hurry. They're always in a hurry. Always in a hurry. It's never. It's just true. It's just, and yet, then there are those times where, one time I had this guy, and he wanted to come talk to me, and I'm sitting in my office, and I'm listening to some Terry Clark, not the girl singer, but Terry Clark, the worship leader, and I just was one of those worship days. I'm in my office, and I'm just worshiping, man. And he taps on my door. I'd forgotten he was coming. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I turned down a little bit, and he came in. I put my hand out, just sit down, and I said, can I finish this song? Sure. So I turned him back up, and it wasn't a minute. I finished that song, and I just turned, and I noticed he's got his, you know, he's kind of into it. So I let it go. 30 minutes later, man, we've listened to the whole thing. 30 minutes later, it hadn't said a word, hadn't given him how awesome I am, my great counsel is for him. And so the music stops, and I stop, turn off, and his name was Bill, and I said, wow, because it was just so wow. I said, what can I do, Bill, man? What can I do for you today? He stands up, walks to my door, turns to look at me, and goes, that's all I needed, and walked right out. Seriously, man. His name was Bill Arroyo. He was a good friend of mine. What am I saying? I'm saying, if you will walk and let God allow trust to happen in your life, he will put the craziest individuals in your life, like Jesse last week. I can't tell you what Jesse did for me. And I was so emotional last week, but my emotions wasn't about Jesse. My emotions was about y'all. Because God could have sent him anywhere. God could have sent him anywhere, but he sent him here to walk down the aisle right at the end of a service so that people could see that, so that God made that appointment so that he could be overwhelmed with this love of Jesus. We all have been there and needed that at some point in time in our life. How about we become that? So let me finish my own version here. I will speak, David said, from my heart and confirm the promises of the Lord. The promises are to come, but listen to me. Hear what Steve said. Pull up the first message of January. It's on the number 17. You know, I love the numbers. Man, it's powerful. The number 17 represents resurrection in all kinds of areas. Hear what I'm saying? It's resurrected life, man. It was on Nisan 17 that Jesus rose from the dead. It was on Nisan 17 that Haman was defeated when they were going to annihilate Israel. It was on Nisan 17 that the boat, the ark that Noah built rested on. Listen, 17 is a powerful word. It's a powerful thing. But the only way you're going to receive a promise is if you believe the promise. That's where I got off caught. When my children, that's when I was telling that story. Wow, I went somewhere, didn't I? When we were young, we had my wife and I, because we were so busy, and then that's where I really rabbit trailed. We told the kids we're going to have we call it family night, because there would be times where we would say, yeah, we'll go to there tonight, and then something would happen. So I, with my board and everybody at the church, I just told them, look, this is family night, and unless somebody dies, nobody's touching this night. And I offended a lot of people because, man, could you come up? Not tonight. We can't. This is my family night. You know, they'd be offended. It's whatever. So we had this family night. So on that family night, there could be 15, because what would happen is during the week, would you take me to Toys R Us family night, son? So here's family night. And so we got some, you know, we got to do some stuff. So I understand that. I understand the pressures of doing life. But man, have I reached the point of understanding that God is so awesome. He loves me so much. How can we not understand that we and us give that love to him? We have got to stop believing that the pearl of great price is Jesus, because that's not what that parable is about, ladies and gentlemen. I'll teach it again sometime. The pearl of great price is about us. He's the one who gave up everything. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who was resurrected to life so that we, the great pearl, he could have and keep us. Quit being arrogant and thinking, yeah, you know, if I just chase Jesus, my pearl of great price. No, sir, buddy. You're the pearl of great price. That's a hard pill to swallow because we're pieces of dirt and he's awesome. But that's just the way it is because that's the depth of love that he has for you. If you can't rest in that, I want you to start resting in that. And you will not do as much stupid now as you were doing. Stop believing that somehow Paul said it all the time. Am I telling you to go out and sin more? God forbid. You don't understand. You don't know him to the least nth degree. If it doesn't allow, it is. If this depth of love as you start receiving it doesn't change the fact that you're not as mean and ornery as you were. And I was pretty mean and ornery. Still am kind of sometimes. Oh, who amen right there. Man, there's some serious bitterness going on right here, ladies and gentlemen, right here. And this man right here. Okay, I think I'm done. I really did rabbit trail. Oh, let me finish my scripture. I didn't. Wow. Are you okay? Yeah, I think I'm fine. You know. My favorite bumper sticker of all time. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic, and so am I. I got stuck on the promises again. Sorry. Just because I love promises. Don't you love when somebody promises you something, especially when they follow through with it? I will speak from my heart and confirm the promises of the Lord. He is my hope. He's my place of protection from all raging storms, from dangers, and the deceptive lies of the enemy. Anytime, even if the enemy is used through somebody else, anytime that someone tells you that you are less than or that you are not valuable, and most of the time it's you telling you that, you need to understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am righteous in Jesus. I am righteous, like it or not. And that will set you free in all avenues when people want to tell you how bad you are. Yes, I'm bad. I get it. Don't worry. I get it. But he's perfect. He perfectly loves me. I'm perfectly foolish. I'm comfortable in those shoes because I'm sitting in his lap and everything is underneath my feet. So write curse words to the enemy on the bottom of your shoe. I didn't say that. Thank you for nobody hearing that. He is my hope, my place of protection from raging storms, dangers, deceptive lies of the enemy. His fortification cannot be infiltrated, and he tenderly wraps me in his safe and powerful arms. And I have total confidence that everything concerning my life is under perfect control. David wrote this. David, who didn't do life too good, did he? David, who was a mess. David, who messed around with another person's wife and then try to cover it up by having her husband killed. David, who act like he was crazy and goofy, with spittle running. The Bible says it. Spit running down his chin because he didn't want to get killed. So in front of King Achish, he's like, and they're like, God, get him out of here. He's an idiot now. David, who the Bible says he went and lived in a cave with 400 of people that were in debt, discontent, bitter, and angry. Woo! Welcome to Christian Center Fort Worth. David, who the Bible says, and the only one the Bible says, was a man after God's heart. The whole time David was chasing God, I don't know that he ever realized God was chasing him, but he wrote some of the most powerful stuff. And this is where he, in this whole block of Psalms 91, where he uses and shows God to be that eagle that we'll teach it at some point in time, but we're not there yet, but we'll get there. Amen? Stand with me, guys. I do like starting at 10 o'clock again. I don't feel so pressed. You're going to get to beat the atheist to food today because they're still asleep. Having sweet dreams of nothingness because there's no God. I know I have a former atheist. Tommy was an atheist. But then he realized that there is a God. And you want me to tell you why? And the atheist is the best point I can make. If there was no God, the atheist would have nothing to not believe in. You get what I'm saying? The only thing I can't understand is why they're so mad at me. How come they don't get mad at me because I don't believe in unicorns? How come, you know what I'm saying? They're not, they get mad at me because I believe in God, but if I say, well, you know, I really believe in unicorns. Well, they're not mad at me. They're just mad at me for believing in the one who did it all. Ha! I love being out of control. And my wife will tell you that. I am out of control. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message. I pray, God, that this message will go deep in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that people will start writing down these chunks of scripture verses so they can go back to them and realize that what is said in the Word is true, that you really all, you are all that you say you are that's in the Word, that we can't make this stuff up. But, Lord, it's just hard for us sometimes to not think that we can't fix something, then we have to do something to line up with something. And Lord, I just pray you help us to start believing what you have done in our lives. We don't want to be schizophrenic anymore. We don't want to believe one day you're good, one day you're bad, and it all depends on my day. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that is dynamic. And I thank you for that. So Lord, today, here's another thing I want to pray today, God. I want to pray that you make some appointments for us today, and even those frustrating appointments where they seem to be interruptions. Yes, from that crazy neighbor that you try to avoid when you drive up to your, you know, and you see him out in the yard, so you kind of wait till they go behind this corner and you move that one, God. Let that be an appointment. Because, Lord, I want us to become an understanding that and rest in the fact that our life really isn't our own, that it's not about me, it's about you. But even beyond that, not only is it not about me, it's about you, but it's not about me, it's about them. Lord, help me somehow be this person who can love these people that seem to be unlovable and touch these people that seem to be untouchable, and just all these leftovers of life, I pray you lay them on my plate so that I can somehow be effective in a way to share the love of who you are. Help me to be the one that helps people understand that they are the pearl of great price. That you tell us that we didn't pick you, you picked us. Wow. Help us to really see that and know that you said we are your sons and your daughters now. Not because of anything that we've accomplished, but because of everything that your son did. Wow. Thank you for loving us so over the top much that you sent him to do what he did. Jesus, thank you, sir. You could have backed out at any time and said, God, I can't deal with this mess. Let's start over. But you didn't, because you love us so much. And Holy Spirit, thank you for coming and residing in our hearts. Jesus said, I got to go so the Holy Spirit can come. And so now we have this same power that raised Jesus from the dead that's inside of us. Stir that in us, oh God. But let our plan be your plan, God. Let us begin to view our life as a vessel for you. I don't know why this is so strong on me today, guys, but I'm just hearing that. From the time of offering to just now, your value is found in Jesus. But there is a, listen, you're still alive. When Steve said young or old, my thought came to Caleb. You know, when they went in to view the promised land, and only Joshua and Caleb came back and said, man, we can whoop them. And 10 of them came back and said, no, we can't do it. You know, we're just going to get beat. So what happened? They had to end up walking in the wilderness. Caleb was 45 years old when God promised to Joshua and to Caleb both that I'm going to give you the land that you wanted. And Caleb said, I want that land right there, which was up this huge mountain. So here it is 40 years later. The only ones that are left alive out of those people was Joshua and Caleb, because they're the only ones that believe. So 45 years later, Joshua comes up and he says, all right, what land do you want, Caleb? I'll let you have any land you want. Caleb was 85 years old, man. He should have got some flat land somewhere with a swimming pool. He said, no, I want that land. I want that land. I'm going to climb that mountain still. That's my promise. That's what I want. Listen, until you're dead, and you ain't dead because you're here, there is purpose and life for you to do something concerning Jesus, and it's very simple. You love other folks and you serve other folks. It's that simple. And man, God's going to open doors for you. And yeah, some crazy people come in. Don't matter. Listen, we're all crazy a little bit. I'm crazy in a good way. I'm crazy, crazy, crazy. I talk to myself. As long as I don't answer myself, I'm all right. So, Father, there we lay our lives at your feet today, kind of like what Hannah did when she's like, man, here's my son, do what you will. We're saying, here we are. We don't see much value, but I know I can put my arm around somebody and even say, you know what, God, I don't understand. I can tell them I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm here for you. We can reach out and touch people's lives. So, Lord, help that become the reason why we attend church, not just to attend church and to get the wonderful blessings of the Lord, which is a cool thing, but help us to pay attention to people around us, the Jessies of life that you are at random throwing in, and I just pray you throw them in every week. And I thank you, God, for trusting this church. Wow. Thank you for trusting us with the souls of those who are hurting, because you know we're going to love them right where they're at. Love that about you. Pray that in me more and more today. And I thank you for that. And God, I know you don't care about the game at all, but I've been a Cowboy fan a long time, so at least go Cowboys. I think hopefully the roof will be open so you can watch. Love you, sir. Love you with all my heart. In your name, amen. Amen. God bless Green Center Forward. All right, hug somebody. Love, act like you care. Find that person that drives you crazy. Find that person that drives you like Johnny. Johnny's going to come up and see me. Watch. Because see, so people drive me crazy.